The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. We get together every weekday at this time, doing this very thing, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? You know, you believe wrong, you're going to live wrong. That's just the way it works. And so that's why when Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, how important is it then we know what God's word says? So we want to encourage you to give us a call, 888-ASK-CSN. We've got some lines open if you'd like to be part of the program today. Joining me is special guest and featured CSN speaker here in the morning times, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you once again. Looking forward to another dynamic program, hearing from those folks that have some great questions for us. And don't you love to hear people being wanting answers to their faith, to grow in the Word of God, to draw closer to Christ, and to be used by God, most importantly. And so it's great to be with you. Looking forward to the program.
Yeah, it's always a blessing because, again, as you share your faith, you know, I think a lot of times, Daryl, people are scared to share their faith because they're afraid that somebody's going to ask them something they're not going to be able to give them a good answer on. And that's why we like to make ourselves available. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, well, I don't know about that, but I'll get back with you. And then, you know, call us weekday afternoons and we'll be able to answer that for you. And you can bring back to them a good answer that will satisfy the question. And so we just want to encourage you to do that. Again, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. What's going on, Daryl, in Hawaii right now? How are you?
Well, you know, all is well. We're just business as usual, trying to get all the tourists back, even though the governor says don't come here. But all the businesses need everyone out here, from the hotels to the restaurant industry to everything we have going on. And you know, it's just this COVID thing's going to be with us for a long time. We just need to adapt and work around it and continue to march on through this process of across our nation as well as here in the state of Hawaii. Just, you know, we just let people make their own choices. You know, get rid of these mandates and whatever you want to do with your life, it's up to you. And let's move forward. And that's really, we call that freedom. That's liberty. That's what our nation's all about. And so I'm hoping, you know, and you know, some people, you know, this COVID, it's this Delta virus is pretty tough. We've talked to some people got some major blood clotting going on in their lungs. So everybody needs to be safe and sound. Do all the precautionary things they need to do. See their physicians, see their doctors, find out what's best for them and their circumstance, their health positions, and march forward. But, you know, this whole thing's going to be with us for quite some time. We just got to keep going. The church needs to keep going. We got to keep doing inreach and outreach, and we can't stop because people need to be saved. Amen.
Amen. And more now than at any other time. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have Tony on the line in Washington. Hi, and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Thank you so much for what you do. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
Okay, great. So I have a unique opportunity to address a group of college students in the Midwest where I went to college. And the group is a science, technology, engineering, math group. And it will not only be students, but alumni coming up this fall. And I'm a physician by trade, not actively seeing patients right now, but during this banquet every year, the STEM banquet, there's a variety of speakers that have come in and with a variety of topics. But what I wanted to do was actually go back to the Bible. It's very interesting. It's a Christian college, and in the space where we're having the banquet, There's a really neat panel that says, in the beginning, and then there's a cross. And what I wanted to do was give some examples from the scriptures around science, technology, engineering, and math. And, you know, I've got a few from, you know, medicine about, you know, Goliath, perhaps representing one of the first cases of an endocrine disorder and, you know, circumcision at 8 days and some of the other things that I'm familiar with. But I wondered if you guys had any examples of other things in the science, technology, engineering, and math that I might be able to use with them. I did think about, you know, engineering with the Ark and the Tabernacle and some other things, but just be interested to hear what you guys have.
Well, there's quite a bit, actually. And one of them that I always thought was kind of interesting is the first physical miracle that Jesus did when he began his earthly ministry is he turned the water to wine. And a lot of people spend endless, countless hours. Was it alcoholic? Was it not alcoholic? Or, you know, the rest. The point is that the first miracle Jesus did on earth as a human being, you know, God in a human form, was make something that was new appear to be old. I thought that was really interesting because if you go back to John 1, it says all things were made by him and without him, not anything that's made is made. So his first miracle in person was making something new appear to be old or aged. And before the earth was created, he created the heavens and the earth. And I believe this is one of the reasons why we see an aged earth. Now, of course, it was very good, the Bible says, and age is not necessarily a bad thing. And of course, after the flood, there was going to be some cataclysmic changes on our earth. But I think it's interesting that God made something new appear to be aged. And I think that not only there with the water and the wine, but also on this earth creation. We also know that the Bible tells us that light can be modulated. This is found in the book of Job, chapter 38. And it says, can you send out lightnings that go to you and say, here we are? Now, friends, on the surface, people would look at that and go, well, what does that mean? But if you were before one of the oldest books in the Bible, if not the oldest, the book of Job, when you look at how you would describe that light could be modulated or fiber optics, can you send out lightnings, plural, that go to you and say, here we are? I thought, what an incredible statement of describing in one sentence what fiber optics, what modulated light is. I think it's an incredible verse in the Bible that was so far ahead of its time that light can be modulated, that this is something that we've just kind of figured out over the last, you know, 60, 70 years. The Bible says, you can modulate light. So I think it's a kind of an interesting picture. Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating to study science in the Bible. I came across an article written by Dr. John Medina. He is I'll just read it to you real quickly here, genetic engineer, University of Washington and so forth. He wrote this back in 95, but he said the following. He says, the average human heart pumps over 1,000 gallons a day, over 55 million gallons in a lifetime. This is enough to fill 13 super tankers. It never sleeps, beating 2.5 billion times in a lifetime. The lungs contain 1,000 miles of capillaries. The process of exchanging oxygen for carbon dioxide is so complicated that Dr. John Medina says from the University of Washington, it is more difficult to exchange oxygen for CO2 than for a man shot out of a cannon to carve the Lord's Prayer on the head of a pin as he passes by. DNA contains about 2,000 genes per chromosome, 1.8 meters of DNA are folded into each cell nucleus, a nucleus of 6 microns long. This is like putting 30 miles of fishing line into a cherry pit. And it isn't simply stuffed in, it is folded in. Each fold is one way or the other. The cell becomes a skin cell and then a liver cell and so forth. To write out the information in one cell would take 300 volumes, each volume 500 pages thick. The human body contains enough DNA that it, if it were stretched out, it would circle the sun 260 times. And this is the one last interesting fact. The body uses energy efficiently. If an average adult rides a bike for 1 hour at 10 miles per hour, it uses the amount of energy contained in 3 ounces of carbohydrate. If a car were this efficient with gasoline, it would get 900 miles to the gallon. So those are just, you know, this Dr. John Medina, this article is called The Miraculous Human Body. You know, I'm just fascinated that, you know, with all the systems that operate, whether it's respiratory system, nervous system, we have our neurological systems, we have the circulatory systems, all these systems all operating together, even while we sleep without any complications, is masterful creator God who has made us. And this could never, ever have happened by some kind of cosmic accident, big bang, evolutionary slime coming out of the ocean. You know, another thing that's interesting is there's another gentleman named of Dr. Walter Brown. He has a hydroplate theory in regards to the great flood of Noah's day on how the events took place and how the foundations of the earth were broken up. That's another fascinating study and video to observe by him. It makes a whole lot of sense. And one last thing is, I talked to a climatologist. I said, what if the earth was perpendicular before the flood of Noah's day? I said, what would the weather systems be like? He said, we'd have perfect weather across the entire planet. Everything. There wouldn't be the ice caps and all these things. And then what if it goes into that 23-degree tilt, which we are today, which it could have happened during the times of Noah when the flood came. God could have taken the earth and put it to that 23. So then that's why we have our weather systems happening today, and it's violent weather systems, by the way. And these are the reasons thereof. So all these things are very fascinating, just a few. We could probably keep going on and on and on. But those might be some things to look at, some antidotes to take in and then share, and let the Lord do the work through you. Mike?
I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Now, I'll send you God of Wonders as well as Evolution versus God. Those are two really good sources that you can glean off of those dialogue that you'll have with them, and especially Evolution versus God. And this is what I believe, again, why the colleges and the school systems of America really push this fantasy is because if you can take the Bible out in the first chapter, then the rest of the Bible will fall on its own. However, the problem is the evolutionists do not have what they need to prove their point. So it's a religion. It's a religion about nothing. And again, they do not have the living transitory transitional life forms, nor the fossilized transitory or transitional life forms. And so where are the horses trading up to be giraffes? Why are they so upset when we have the global warmists say, oh, well, you know, these animals are going to go extinct. Hey, there's going to be a whole new group of animals here in the next few years anyway. If you really believe in evolution, that people, things will adapt to their environment, the problem is it isn't. They don't have any record of anything transmuting. In other words, going from a cat to a dog. Oh, yeah, there's big dogs and small dogs and cats and small cats. But a horse is a horse, of course, of course. And this is one of the problems that they don't want to look at. And so this video, Evolution versus God, is where Ray Comfort, a couple of people go on these campuses of UCLA, USC, and begin to talk to the teachers that are teaching evolution and just begin to ask them questions before they melt down on camera. It's pretty good. It's worth watching. And certainly, if nothing else, you'll leave them with something to think about. I always tell people, if you go to church and you don't come away mad, glad, or sad, you probably shouldn't have went. Well, I would say that for your meeting as well. And if you can leave something in their craw that will gnaw at them, in other words, well, I can dismiss Christ, the Bible, all that because of evolution, and you knock the wheels off the bus concerning evolution because they don't have what they need. It's a fable, and they know it. And if you don't have it, and by the way, since you are partly in the medical field as well, DNA, for instance, you have not only no transitory life forms, transitional life forms, living or dead, living or fossilized, but you also Again, when you have the lockout of DNA, when a horse breeds with a donkey, you get a mule, but it's sterile. And so there's a lot of things there that they refuse to look at because, you see, they want to believe what they want to believe, and they don't have really the infrastructure, if you want to use that word, for their belief system. So it is a fable. Once again, if we can go after that and challenge them, I believe that in the long run, you're going to be able to really leave them with something as they go away that will challenge them. So hope that helps.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Stay on the line, Tony. I'll get those out to you, both Evolution versus God and God of Wonders. A lot of really great information there on even how birds fly. Now, I know that sounds quite simple, but the air coming into the bird's lungs on these smaller birds that fly transcontinental, their lungs are not big enough to handle the oxygen-carbon dioxide exchange. And so because of that, technically, theoretically, they can't fly, but they do. And so I'll send all those out to you, and I'm sure you'll be able to come up with a great speech. So stay online. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Paul, Dallas, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I've got a question about Ephesians chapter 3 today. I'm in the NASB translation.
Uh-huh.
And just as a background, in the early part of chapter 3, Paul's saying, hey, you know, now through this letter, I can share with you my insight to the mystery of Christ. And in verse 6, he says specifically that Gentiles will also be grafted into the body. And I understand that part, but my question comes for what seems to me kind of like a strange statement. He says in number 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So my question is, am I reading this right, that he's saying the mystery that even Gentiles would be grafted in the body was somehow a secret to rulers in the heavenly places, and it's being revealed to them through the earthly church? It's kind of an odd thing. I mean, it's not totally odd because, for example, Christ says not even the angels know when I'm going to return the second time. So the idea that, you know, spiritual heavenly places might not have all the information. I just want to confirm, am I interpreting this right?
Okay, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, there's about, I think, 11 mysteries that Paul unveils throughout the scriptures. In other words, it is a secret that is now known from through the New Testament, from the Old Testament. And he's talking about there about Jew and Gentile becoming one, that we are one in Christ. We're both born again of the Holy Spirit, that you come, whether it be Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus as your Messiah, or we as believers come to Jesus as our Savior, Christ, and so forth. And this is what we find, what God is saying to us, because the Jews, so many times, you know, in the Old Testament, salvation was only of the Jew, right? Well, the gospel is preached to the Jew first, then it comes to the Gentiles. And then this is the beauty of our Lord. And it's also revealed in the heavens. So whether it be on the earthly realm or the heavenly realm, this mystery that was hidden in God has now come to fruition, that all people are to be saved, all people. And so we look at the great statement of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, Jesus said, you know, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is this mystery that Paul unveils here in Ephesians, talking about Jew and Gentile becoming one in Christ, not one greater than the other. But we are one together, equal, unified in Christ as what we know as the bride of Christ. And this is what God has unveiled for us. And this is what Paul is writing about. It's not only for Jew and Gentiles to know, but also for the heavenly realm to know that all can be saved in our form of humanity that we know today. Mike?
Yeah, and I believe that there is a lot of mysteries that continue to be revealed from the heart of God to creation. Now, what I mean by that is I believe that initially when God created the heavens and the earth, he was going to make a group of creatures, the Bible says, a little lower than the angels. That didn't bother Satan, Lucifer, or the host of heaven, But then the Bible says that he was going to elevate those who love him above the angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, do you not know someday you'll judge angels? This evidently did not set well with Lucifer. And it didn't set well with a third of the host of heaven as well, that there was going to be a creation made above them and insomuch called Jesus's bride. Now, this is a very amazing thing that I believe was revealed. I believe that the fall of Lucifer was after Adam and Eve were in the garden. And here's why. Because the Bible says God made the earth. It was good. It was very good. Repeated over and over again. You wouldn't say that about a creation that had a devil in it. But after Adam and Eve were created, I believe this is when the plan was being revealed. And I believe this is when Lucifer and a third of the host of heaven, some still chained in chains waiting the great judgment of God, but some just disembodied spirits down here looking to destroy humanity. I believe this is why 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that, don't you know someday you'll judge angels? Because I believe it's the fallen angels, the demonic forces in this world that have caused much of the problems in human beings. We remember that Michael was fighting against the prince of Persia. Now, this is an angel, one of the mightiest angel, if you will, warrior angel. And he was battling against the prince of Persia, a king, like a president. Okay, I'm going to duke it out with you. No, I don't think that's what it was. I believe he was battling the spirits behind the kingdoms of this world, behind the prince of Persia. Because we do know that they are controlled, and Jesus even said that. Satan said, bow down and worship me. All these are mine. The kingdom of the world that were shown to him in a moment of time. All these are mine if you'll bow down and worship me. What did Jesus come to do? He came to redeem the kingdoms of the world. Satan offers him a shortcut, but it was worshiping Satan. And Jesus rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. You see, I believe that these unseen forces, these disembodied spirits that roam this earth, hate human beings. And people say, well, I'm not a Christian. I'm neutral. Have you ever heard that one? I have. Nope, sorry, you're not neutral. No, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And I believe every time the demonic world looks into human beings, the human race, kill them, kill all of them. I believe this is because they lost their preeminent place. And this is why we find what we find. Remember, Satan came to Adam and Eve after God had said, finished creation, said, don't eat of the tree. They may not have eaten of the tree, except they were seduced by the devil. And we remember that they partook of it, ran and hid, just as the Bible says that they would do. Something in them died that day. Of course, their spirit. This is why Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again, to a religious leader named Nicodemus. So just being religious does not get you born again. There's something much more needed. And that's what Jesus points out there in John chapter 3. But what we find there is a very interesting picture of the powers of darkness that manipulate this world. And I believe just as that was a revelation of what God's eventual plan would be to graft the Gentiles into the Jewish nation or into the promises of Abraham, I believe that was also a tremendous revelation. Because they believed that the only way you could be a Jew was to renounce your pagan deity, embrace Yahweh, take a ceremonial washing, and keep the Ten Commandments and the laws of the prophets. Well, Jesus changed that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What were his commandments? To love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. For then Jesus said, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. So keeping the law does not render to a human being anything spiritual. The Bible says no good thing dwells in the flesh. So our righteousness comes from Christ, who we are clothed in his righteousness, not anything that I could do. The Ten Commandments were simply given to show us how desperately we needed a Savior. Our Sabbath rest is fulfilled in Christ. All the other requirements are fulfilled in love. If you love God, you're not going to be using his name in vain. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to be stealing from him or bearing false witness against him. That's what the Bible talks about. So this is the picture then that God has given us. So I believe all the way through the Bible, we're going to find that. And I do believe that there will be more. In fact, in Revelation, the Bible says that there were things that were uttered and John was told not to write them down. But I believe eventually they'll be revealed as we will be there and hear those words uttered. So I think there is, all knowledge is in the Bible, but in that all knowledge, there is clear definition that sometimes we receive. Paul, hope that helps.
Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy. With that, we'll go to Angie, New Jersey. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to update people on what's going on over here in one of these blue states. Yuck. I got a phone call today from the state health department wanting to know if I had COVID or if I was vaccinated. And I kind of drugged things out. I said, excuse me? What'd you say? And just let the silence hang there and got my thoughts together. And I simply responded, I'm sorry, to answer your question, is a HIPAA violation. That's between my care providers and me. When they hung up, she goes, oh, I'll update your records. I said, oh, thank you very much. Goodbye. And called the phone number back to verify that it was, in fact, from the health department for the state. And I have let people know, tell them nothing. And yeah. I've blocked their phone number so they can't call again.
Well, we do know that it is an issue. We do know that the vaccine doesn't completely work. I shared this before, but we have over 60% of the people. One of the nurses reported to us that in the hospital here locally, over 60% have been vaccinated, but they're in the hospital with COVID. Ain't working. Now, is it as bad as it would be if they hadn't been vaccinated? I don't know, but they're in the hospital, so it must be pretty bad. So I really don't know. I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't tell anybody not to take the vaccine. Me personally, I'll tell you this, I'll never take it because I don't believe that it's straight. Again, when they're paying people to take the vaccine, you don't have to pay people to take something that's really good. I use the illustration of a Corvette in the parking lot. Hey, you know, that car out there is free. And if you drive it home right now, we'll give you $1,000. Really? Wow, that's great. No, you would just take the car because it's a good deal. But when people are being bribed to take a medicine that really is not long-term tested, and again, two people in the FDA quit over this mandated vaccine stuff that Biden is pushing down everybody's throat. Two high-ranking FDA officials said they can't take it anymore. It's just, it's baloney. So yeah, there's real issues here, friends. And, you know, I just can't quite put my finger on it, why they're trying to do this to everybody, knowing that it does not work. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, it's really, people need to seek their.
Emmy was in a bad relationship when she found out she was pregnant. Her boyfriend told her to get an abortion, which she seriously considered.
I knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Emmy went to a preborn center in need of guidance.
They honestly were able to put every fear at ease and let me know that it was going to be okay. I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here.
Preborn clinics introduce moms in crisis to their babies through ultrasound while providing hope, love, and the gospel in action. When an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To learn how you can rescue a baby's life, just go to csnradio.com. That's csnradio.com. And click on the preborn banner or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-2229. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on over 300 stations nationwide, including multiple stations in New York. You can listen in Binghamton. You can listen in Windsor, Oswego, and Seneca Falls. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
Worship music that exalts the Lord. Words and lyrics that lift up His name. Reach to, trust in the Lord, be set apart. Expressions of worship from believers all across the world. Trust in the Lord. Don't heavenly sounds of praise to the King. Right here on the Christian Satellite Network.
And we want to welcome you back to part two. It kind of snuck up on us there. Daryl, you were saying, go back and finish.
Well, you know, I think it's important for everybody to pray about it, seek their own medical advice from their doctors regarding their personal situation and their life and what they what immune system problems they have, all kinds of things, and find it out. You know, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I'm not a physician. I think it's just important. There's a lot of things flying all over the place with this. We've got some people that they got the COVID Delta virus. A 30-year-old got blood clots in his lungs, going to be on steroids for 3 months. The whole thing, it is serious business here with this thing going on. And people really need to seek out the medical advice that they need for their situation. They might have diabetes. They might have some other cancer. They might have whatever the issues are. And really pray about, you decide what you want to do, and whatever case it is, so be it. But I know this much. The main thing is just know where you're going, because you get hit by a car today. And everybody, you know what? Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Make sure you're saved. Live for the Lord Jesus. It could be cancer. It could be a heart attack. Could be a brain aneurysm. It could be a murder, whatever. The Lord only knows, and let's be ready to go to heaven. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He's going to take care of you forever. So that's kind of where I just want to make sure everybody's heading in the right direction. Amen.
Amen. Hope that helps, Angie.
Oh, yeah. No, just want to keep people up to what's going on. And like y'all said, got to know where we're going. I got my lamp burning. I'm ready for the King to come back and capture His virgins.
Amen. We're all looking for
good
that.
Job.
And
good job.
For everyone listening, you know, I mean, because you do have rights and they're wanting you to believe
yes.
you don't when it comes to this vaccination, Pacific Justice Institute, Brad Dacus, who is on this program and he has his program on CSN, has a full-time staff just dealing with overreach of the government, making people do things that, you know, yourself, for many people, this is not what you want to do. And so, you know, like I say, they're blowing themselves up with these things. And like I tell everybody, you better hope that, oh, by the way, did you see that about Fauci that Rand Paul said, are you funding this laboratory in Wuhan, China? And Fauci indignantly goes, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't, just railed on him. Come to find out, they were funding it, just what Rand Paul said. So, you know, I got to tell you, Steve Colbert, you played that little clip the other night. You ought to retract it, because you kind of lied to everybody. You see, you can't really do that. Oh, I know, haha, it's funny, but it's deceitful. Because he played that clip where Rand Paul was just running Rand Paul down, only to find out that Rand Paul was right and they were funding this crazy stuff going on. So, yeah, I'll tell you, friends, it's not good. And that's the government that says, I've got to take a vaccine. So I go, no, I don't think so. I don't trust you. And do we have reason to not trust them when we left between 500 and 5,000 Americans in Afghanistan? Hope you can make it. You shouldn't be there, as they were there serving the American GIs. And then we just pulled out and left them. Yeah, I don't trust this government. I'm sorry, friends. I just don't. Now, of course, if they were illegal aliens, oh my gosh, we would have the National Guard out there. We'd have the Air Force. We'd have everything. But if they're American citizens serving our GIs in Afghanistan, well, you're on your own. Yeah, Biden wants everybody to forget about these Americans abandoned in Afghanistan. But, you know, we're not going to let them forget, are we? No, you know, it's interesting. Coming up here on Saturday, we will never forget, as they flew airplanes into the Twin Towers and into the Pentagon, rammed one into the ground that was probably bound for the White House. You know, it was interesting that these cell groups operating in Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda and all the other ones, you know, ISIS, they're all there. That's how we got in Afghanistan. Somehow Joe's forgotten that. We'll never forget. Well, Joe has, the Democrats have, as we abandon and leave them with literally, some people have estimated over now, I've been doing a little more research on it, over $100 billion in high-grade, state-of-the-art weaponry to be used against us, Israel, and the rest of the free world. Why would you do that, Democrats? Why? I mean, do you like doing this? How is it that you're always standing up for dogs voting and vote early, vote often? You stand up for people not having to register to vote or to show your ID because, unfortunately, the minorities are too dumb, according to you. You're just too dumb, and so therefore they shouldn't have to show their ID when they vote. What an insult of the Democratic Party to minorities. That you just can't figure it out. Friends, that's an outrage. So the only way they get in is by cheating and letting your dog and your cat vote, all this kind of stuff. And then when they get into office, they give billions, hundreds of billions of dollars away in armament to our enemies, a sworn enemy, where these groups of terrorism flourish, recruiting goes on daily, and now they have literally billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in state-of-the-art American technology. Biden, you sold us out, and there is no other words for it. What a shame that the Democratic Party has done to the United States. I'm sorry to have to break that news to all of you, but as I see it over and over again in the great cover-up of the American news media, they're not going to tell you the truth because they're part of it. Well, again, end America. You know, and that way their little one world order can come about. Well, you know, I believe this, as long as we're here as Christians, we want to be noisy little sunbeams. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. So let's be sunbeams. Let's expose the darkness. Let's be about our daddy's business. Preach the gospel. You know, a lot of people don't really realize why we need to preach the gospel. Well, it's because things are wrapping up, friends. You don't equip your enemy with this kind of armament. It's going to completely destabilize the world. This Friday, we have on the air with us a leading economic advisor that's going to be on us explaining to all of us what this financially is going to do to the world. You want to tune in on Friday's edition, because this is going to explain when you transfer this mega wealth to a country that is destable and wants to destroy us, what that's going to do to the world. Friends, you don't want to miss this Friday. It's going to be a good show. Rick, I we'll just go to Rick. Rick, hi, and hope we can help. Hi, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Pastor. Thanks for taking my call. Look, I was listening earlier, and you were talking about when Jesus turned water into wine.
Yeah.
Saying that that's the first miracle. I was just wondering why the event where he had Peter cast his nets after Peter had fished all night and didn't catch anything, and he said, cast right here, and he filled the boats up with fish, why that's not considered a miracle of Jesus.
Okay, your thoughts.
Well, it was a miracle of Jesus to bring those fish into the net and tell them where to fish. I think that was just another one of many of Jesus' miracles that he performed, and that became the essence that it is truly Emmanuel, God with us. And we see the Jesus was in that place young at the time of the wedding at Cana, and the water was turned into wine. So both these are great miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I don't see a controversy there in any form. Mike?
No, but actually the reason why, and if you just do a Google search, you'll find, just type in the first miracle of Jesus. Everybody concludes that the water into wine at the marriage at Cana was the first one. I've gone off traditionally what they say. I mean, when you really want to look at it, I mean, the things that Jesus did, a lot of them were that way, but, the Bible attributes that to being his first miracle. So I just kind of go along with that and all, but, when you really look at it, there are many miracles that Jesus did. You know, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, that would be considered a miracle as well. But what you might say is this was the first public miracle that Jesus did. He did the others to, as an example, the disciples or whatever. But the first public miracle that he did was changing the water to wine. So I hope that helps.
All right. Yes, sir. Because I knew that chronologically that happened before the wedding when he turned water into wine. But you're right. He did it in front of only the disciples. And that was that really caught Peter's attention.
Yeah, it did. And even the guests said, oh, you know, most people bring out the good wine at first and everybody's well drunk. Then they bring out the inferior wine, but you've kept the best for last. So I think that's a real compliment on Jesus's quality of wine that he offered everyone. But I hope that helps.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Stay online. If you like, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Alicia, Dallas, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Yes, I was, my husband and I were in a group, and that a particular person said that they couldn't find anywhere in the Bible where Adam and Eve were married. So, you know, we went on, and so I was reading in Genesis, the second chapter. And so when I was reading, that was showing me that that was the first official wedding. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Well, yeah, and I believe that it's very clear that God arranged that marriage because out of the side of Adam came Eve. And so it's very obvious that what this was all about. Your thoughts, Carol?
Well, it says in Matthew 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is the very first wedding. Jesus confirms this in Matthew chapter 19, where he was questioned about divorce. He says, do you not know that as God made them male and female in the beginning, and then he talks about them not to be separated. So Jesus affirms that first marriage union that we see between Adam and Eve, as well as is to be ordained, the ordination of marriage for all of us today, one man, one woman to be married together, not multiple women, not multiple men, not men with men, not women with women. And so on and so forth. So this is where we find the, what's known as the law first mentioned, which is chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 24, as God brings them together. And then Jesus says, let no man separate. So hopefully that helps you out.
Hope that helps.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Going back to our last caller real quick. If you go to the book of John 2:11, I'll just read it to you. This is the beginning, when he turned the water to wine, this is the beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So we find this in verse 11, that this, in fact, is the first miracle that Jesus did, and hope that helps. Let's go back to the phones. We have Tina on the line. Savannah, Georgia, hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor, how are you? Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Hello.
Yes, sir. I just wanted you to tell me about Calvinism. I don't know anything about it.
Well, it's a bad doctrine. And basically, they're saying that God predestined people to go to hell, that you can't even make a decision about that, that either you're saved or you're not saved, which violates everything that Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse in itself knocks the wheels off of Calvinism. But wait, there's more. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature, not just to the predestinated ones. And this is one of the great problems that we have here. Now, just because, well, what about where the Bible says to those that are predestinated? Well, that is from God's perspective, not ours. Yes, God ultimately knows who chooses him and who doesn't. God does not learn. He lives in all times present. That's what it means in Revelation 22, where it says he's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last. He lives in all times present. God does not learn. But we do. And because of that, God has called us, his saints, to preach the gospel to everyone. And the idea that God deliberately put people on hell to send them, put them on earth to send them to hell is not and does not follow the whosoever will may come open door that Jesus offers in John chapter 3, verse 16. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and Paul writes in Romans, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say only those chosen will be saved. No. The opportunity for salvation is available to all people across the world. Otherwise, God is not fair. God is not a God of equal justice, but he is, and it's available to all. As Mike said, he does know the ultimate decisions of all people, but you know what? The availability of salvation is perfectly given through our Lord Jesus Christ, as quoted John 3:16, many other passages. It's a bad doctrine. It's not Bible doctrine. It's from Calvin, and the Lord, you know what? He never said, "I want you to follow Calvin." He says, "No, follow me." And so we follow Christ. We preach the fullness of the Word of God. It's available. Salvation is available to all people. And then there's those that'll drive home the idea of eternal security and so forth. Well, yeah, if you're a born-again Christian and never want to leave the Lord, yes, you are eternally saved. But if you want to leave the Lord, that'll be your decision, just as it was a free decision to come to salvation. It's a free decision to be an apostate, to leave Christ and to come against Christ. Although it appeared you were saved, but who knows why you left? I don't know. But it's important for us to realize that there's a whole church called Laodicea that's lukewarm, and Jesus says, you make me sick. I'll vomit you out of my mouth. That's their choice. There's a church called Philadelphia that keeps the word of God, will not deny his name. And Jesus says, you're my church. I'll keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. So this is what we recognize. The freedom of choice is also for salvation and also walking with the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. That's where the eternal security is, that you would live for the Lord to the point of death or the rapture of the church. You're good to go. Mike?
Hope that helps.
Yes, sir. Now, let me just ask you this question. Dr. John MacArthur, is he practicing Calvinism too?
I believe he leans that way. There's a lot of things that John MacArthur says that I, from a biblical standpoint, I cannot agree to. He says that you can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven when the Bible explicitly says you can't. I think it's a real problem. And when something is that blatant in the scripture, and for somebody to say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't know what it's talking about, let me straighten you out, I got a problem with that. And so I watched the video, I watched him say it, not good. And so, and remember this, just because God knows the decisions that we will make in our lives doesn't stop the freedom that we have to make those decisions. This is one of the great problems. So you have predestination from the side of God on his side, and we have a learning experience on our side every day. And so that's why, again, who would have believed that Paul the Apostle would have had a transformation and went from Saul persecuting the church to Paul encouraging the church even today through his letters? So it's really amazing to me how God works. But God, just because he knows the decisions all of us will make, does not stop any of us from making the decisions that we will make. And I can't hold God guilty just because he knows the decisions that people will make, some of them to separate themselves from God forever. I can't fault God because ultimately those individuals are the ones that made those decisions. God didn't make them make that decision. That's the decisions that they chose. God just happened to know aforehand. Now, again, why did God do it this way? God's a legal God. Why does blood sacrifice required for the forgiveness of sin? I think that's a really good question. Because God's a legal God. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no remission of sin. Why? Because sin is a capital offense against God. You transgress, you die. Or something dies. Maybe a blood of bulls and goats or something like that in the Old Testament. But now the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins. And that's why we want to stay in that and be clothed in his righteousness. There's no righteousness we generate in ourselves. Oh, look, I keep the Sabbath, or I don't eat pork, or I witnessed to 20 people today. No, we're not saved by that. We're saved because Jesus died on the cross for us. I think there's some things, though, that can be said. I think if you don't take a day off a week, I think you're going to pay the price. I think there's some things that we can all eat that, yeah, it's legal to eat, but maybe not the best for us. It doesn't just cover maybe pork, but I think it can go into ice cream and crunchy O's and all the other things that we all eat that we know that we probably shouldn't. They do cause problems. You look at the ingredients and you see all these preservatives. How many parts per million can your poor old body take of all this junk that we eat? So I think that when we really look at it, we want to realize that there's nothing that God says in the Ten Commandments that's necessarily bad, but we don't fulfill it through the law that makes me something. We fulfill it in love, saying, okay, God, I love you. I'm not going to cuss your name out. I love you. I'm not going to bear false witness. I love you. I'm not going to steal from my brother or sister. See, that's they're fulfilled in love. Not in a legal relationship. Many religions today offer people a legal relationship. Well, you cross the T's and dot the I's and you just might make it. Where God says, hey, I love you, period. You could never generate, you could never do enough law keeping to save your soul anyway. That's why Jesus had to come and die on the cross. In fact, if we think we can, we deny the blood of Jesus. And that we can't do. So he's the ongoing propitiation for our sins. And so hope that helps.
Yes, sir. Let me just ask another quick question real quick. I was visiting this church. It's a Southern Baptist church. And they were, I guess they call it, their Reformation, what is it?
Reformed theology?
Yeah, Protestant Reformation, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a part of Calvinism?
Well, maybe a little bit, but really, depending on what they mean by Reformationism, that many people believe that Revelation all happened in 70 AD. It's no more relevant today than anything. It's just kind of a historical thing. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, the Protestant Reformation was protesting the Roman Catholic Church. A man named Martin Luther penned a 95-point thesis. He nailed it to the church in Wittenberg, Germany. It was all against the Roman Catholic Church. That was the beginning of the Protestant. Protestant means the protest against the Roman Catholic Church and all the corruption from indulgences to purgatory to all kinds of things that the Catholic Church was practicing as an authoritarian religious system. And so that was the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. So when you talk about Protestants, we still protest, and we still should be protesting against many of the teachings that are false teachings found in Roman Catholicism. And we pray that they would come to the truth that's found strictly in the Word of God, the Bible, such as get rid of purgatory, praying to Mary, and so forth. So these are the things that we are still protesting against in regards to the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, right now I have a little pamphlet that says 62 Errors of the Roman Catholic Church. And they need to correct them. They need to come to the Word of God and get rid of this hierarchy of the Pope and all these things that are going on. But it doesn't seem like they're going to do it. Mike?
So, hope that helps.
Yes, sir, it did. And I really appreciate the clarification of it. So, just because they're reformed doesn't necessarily mean that they're practicing Calvinism.
No, not necessarily. I find a lot of times a lot of those do. But again, it's a mixed bag out there, depending on what church you go to, what the pastor believes. Even similar denominations using the same name, you'll find vast differences in theology from church to church. So you have to just kind of really look and see where that minister stands. His emphasis upon God's word, the entirety of God's word, I think makes all the difference. Tina, I hope that helps. Stay on the line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Yes, sir. And thank you so much.
God is good. And Tina, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Aaron in Wyoming. Hi and welcome. Line one. Hi.
Hey, Mike. How are you guys doing? I appreciate you guys. I listen to you every day. So I have my boss is basically telling us we need to get the vaccine or find another job. It's coming. And we should do it because this will usher in God's plan of the new world order. And it's all part of the plan. So get the vaccine because this is God's will.
Well, part of the plan is it sounds like this is a Reformation theology where we're just going to usher in the return of Christ. And in fact, they will be ushering in the Antichrist instead. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, nobody should mandate this. Let people have their own personal choice. That's the freedom God has given us. And I think your boss is wrong in his theology. I don't know where he's coming from with that. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to rapture the church. Then comes 7 years tribulation, then the millennial reign of Christ.
Mike. Amen. Yeah, go to Pacific Justice Institute. Mm-hmm. You can go there, Aaron. They'll tell you what to do in this particular situation. For everybody else, please, call us back. We got your name. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. No waiting.
To
God bless you.
Good
night.
To find out about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.